this evening to our annual remembrance and wreath-laying ceremony. We welcome you all warmly in the Saviour's great and precious name. We're going to commence our service by turning to the first hymn in our order of service. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. And after we get the introduction, we'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's come before the Lord, please, in prayer. We ask for his help and his presence in this meeting tonight. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come into thy holy presence this evening. We thank thee, O God, tonight for that name that prevails before God on our behalf. We thank the Lord tonight for the name, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord for that name that was given to him at his birth. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. We thank thee, O Lord, tonight that we can come before thee, not because of who we are or what we are, but all because of what Christ has done for us. Lord, in this Remembrance Sunday, we come to lift our thanks and praise to thee for all that you have accomplished for us and for the liberties tonight that we enjoy in our land. We come, O God, to honor those who gave their lives in past conflicts, in the two world wars, and in more recent times, particularly even in our own province, for those who stood at the forefront of the battle and to defend our freedoms that we might enjoy the liberty that we have tonight. We come to honor their memory. We come, Lord, to salute their bravery. Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight, as we come ourselves, Lord, to this service of remembrance. We pray, Lord, that you'll give us a heart of thanksgiving. We ask, O God, that you'll give us, Lord, that heart of praise for all that you've done for us. Our Father, we pray that you'll take up our thanks for thy presence with us today already. And Lord, for bringing us again to another time of remembrance. And our Father, we pray that as we remember, Lord, all those who have laid down their lives in past conflicts, in past wars, we think, Lord, tonight of the family members who are left, and their hearts are heavy. We ask, O God, that you'll draw alongside. You know how poignant Remembrance Sunday is for so many. O God, we pray that you'll be pleased to draw into hearts tonight, we pray. And Lord, speak peace and comfort to hearts this evening. We come, O God, as well to thank thee for the memory, Lord, of our late Queen, Queen Elizabeth. We thank thee, Lord, for her 70 years of service and duty to our land, to our nation, and to our commonwealth. We thank thee, Lord, for the example that she set to us. And, O God, we pray that she and her memory will continue to live on. We ask, O God, tonight for our royal family. We pray for our King. We pray for the Queen. O God, we pray for all of the royal household tonight. Lord, that they will know God's salvation, that they'll know God's grace and God's peace. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll speak in to the royal household at this time, we pray. And Lord, we pray that you'll watch over them. And Father, we pray that you'll remember, Lord, those in our own province tonight who need our prayers, Lord, those who, because of the troubles in our land, Lord, they've lost loved ones in awful and brutal circumstances. O God, we pray that you will be pleased, Lord, to drive back the forces of terror and hell. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll raise a standard for truth and for righteousness in our land. O, remember those who mourn tonight. Draw near, O God, we pray. Realize, O Lord, that the passing of years does not take away the pain. There's always that emptiness. There's always that sorrow. But, O God, we thank thee that we can commit our way unto the Lord. And so, our Father, we pray that you'll draw near at this time, we ask. Bless in this service tonight, we pray, in every part. May thy name be honored and glorified. Bless Jonathan as he come, minister to us in song. Remember, Lord, those who will take part in the act of remembrance and the wreath laying ceremony. We just pray, Lord, that everything will be to the glory and to the honor of thy great name. Hear and answer prayer and be with us, continue with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're delighted to welcome back to Sandown our brother Johnny Logan. This evening, I'm going to ask Johnny to come and sing for us just at this stage. Thank you.
Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected, yes, my soul, 'tis he. 'Tis the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. By his son God now has spoken, 'tis the true and faithful word. Tell me, ye who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like his? Friends through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to wound him, none would interpose to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. Ye who think of sin but lightly, not suppose the evil great. Here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. mark the sacrifice appointed. See who bears the awful load. 'Tis the word of the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. Here we have a firm foundation, here the refuge of the lost. Christ the rock of our salvation is the name of which we boast. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope have built. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope have built.
Can I ask the congregation please to stand? They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them.
Thank you.
that for your tomorrow we gave our today. Our first wreath will be led by former trooper David Moore, who served with the 5th Royal Enniskillen Dragoon Guards and also with the Ulster Defence Regiment. This will be led on behalf of the British Army. Our next wreath will be led by Mr. Colin Timms on behalf of the Ulster Special Constabulary Association. Former Detective Constable James Bustard will lay a wreath on behalf of the Royal Ulster Constabulary George Cross Foundation. Constable Sandy Boyd will lay a wreath on behalf of the Police Service of Northern Ireland. Retired firefighter James Hayburn lay a wreath on behalf of the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service. Senior Prison Officer Stephen Conn, on behalf of the Northern Ireland Prison Service. Clinical Support Officer Yvonne Craig will lay a wreath on behalf of the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service. Miss Violet Starrett will lay a wreath in memory of her brother, Private Fred Starrett, who served in the 7th, 10th Battalion of the Ulster Defence Regiment, a member of own congregation here in Sandown, who along with his colleague Private James Cummings was murdered by the IRA on the 24th of February 1988. Mr. Paul Muskelly will lay a wreath on behalf of the Ulster Defenders of the Realm Orange Lodge, number 710. Mr. Alex Simpson will lay a wreath on behalf of the Star of the North Loyal Orange Lodge, 1053. Mr. George Looney, Mr. Brian Keenan will lay on behalf of the Albert Total Abstinence Royal Black Preceptory, number 322. Can I, at this stage, welcome you all along to this annual remembrance and wreath laying ceremony. We deeply appreciate everybody who's made the effort to come along tonight. And to you all, each and every one of you, we welcome you in the Saviour's worthy name. Also to those especially who are taking part tonight, we want to thank you for your help and your support in the meeting this evening, to our piper and to our bugler. And also to those who've been laying the wreaths, we appreciate you coming. Thank you very much for being a part of this service. We're also glad to welcome members of the local Orange Lodge as well. And we welcome you warmly all. And it is warm in here tonight. And we welcome you warmly in the Saviour's name. Can I also extend that welcome to those who are watching, maybe watching online. Can I just very quickly go through some announcements for our own congregation? Well, first of all, for everybody, there's tea afterwards tonight. We're glad to be able to get back to tea after supper, and we're glad that can happen again this year. And so you stay behind, please. There's more than enough for you, so please take that time. There's no point in going home and making tea when you could stay here and have it made for you. Now, if you want to go home and make your own tea as well, that's fine. But why not stay, have time of fellowship here, and then you can go home and get your cheese and toast along with your cocoa as well, or whatever you might take at that time of the night. But please do make every effort to stay for the time of fellowship afterwards, please. Tuesday night we have the Explorers Bible Club here, church for the boys and girls, 6:30, followed by prayer meeting Bible study on Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Services next Lord's Day commence with a Sunday school and Bible class 10:15, our morning worship at 11:30, and our gospel service at 6:30, and we also have our outreach Sunday school in Redburn next Sunday at 2:30. And if you're not in the habit of going to a church, you'd be more than welcome to join with us for those services, 11:30 and 6:30 next Sunday evening. We're going to turn to our order of service again at this stage, and we're going to sing another hymn. There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the King, as an ensign fair, we lift it up today while as ransomed ones we sing. We'll stand together after we get the introduction and sing this hymn, please. Seated. I'm going to ask our brother Johnny to come again and sing for us at this stage, please. Thank you.
Afflicted saint, to Christ draw near, your Savior's gracious promise hear. His faithful word you can believe, that as your days your strength shall be. Your faith is weak, your foes are strong, and if the conflict should be long, the Lord will make the tempter flee, that as your days your strength shall be. So sing with joy, afflicted one, The battle's fierce, but the victory's won. God shall supply all that you need. Yes, as your days, your strength shall be. Should persecution rage and flame, still trust in your Redeemer's name. In fiery trials you shall see that as your days your strength shall be. So sing with joy, afflicted one. The battle's fierce, but the victory's won. God shall supply all that you need. Yes, as your days, your strength shall be. When called to bear your weighty cross, or sore affliction, pain or loss, or deep distress, or poverty, still as your days your strength shall be. So sing with joy, afflicted one. The battle's fierce, but the victory's won. God shall supply all that you need. Yes, as your days, your strength shall be. So sing with joy, afflicted one. The battle's fierce, but the victory's won. God shall supply all that we need. Yes, as our days, our strength shall be.
I want to thank Jonathan for coming and for his help in the meeting tonight. We certainly appreciate, as we always do, his ministry in song. I want to read this evening from the Gospel of John. If you have a copy of the Word of God, and turn there. If not, then just listen to these words. John's Gospel, chapter 15, please. John's Gospel, chapter 15. And we're going to read from verse number 9. John's Gospel, chapter 15. The verse 9. And there we read, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And just for sake of time, we'll finish there at verse 14. Can we just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer as we come to the Word of God for tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us already in this meeting. We thank thee, O God, for all who have taken part. And O God, we pray now that as we come to thy Word for these moments, Lord, that you'd be pleased to speak to us. Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight, Lord, through the Word of God, that our hearts will be challenged. Lord, those who are not saved out of Christ, we pray, Lord, that even today they might come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that they might experience the love of God as seen in the person of the Son of God. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless in the preaching of the Word of God. Give help, O God, we pray. We need thee tonight. And give help, especially in the hearing of it as well. And Lord, through it all, may thy name be honored and glorified. So be with us. Continue with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. The sun had just gone up over the northern coastline of France. It was a beautiful, bright, sunlit morning. Not a cloud in the sky. And the beauty of God's creation was once again resplendent in the early morning sun. Yet what was just about to unfold on that sunny July morning has gone down as one of the most dreadful and bloodiest of battles in the history of the British Army. For the 5 days leading up to the 1st of July 1916, the Allied forces who had entrenched along the River Somme in France launched an unrelenting offensive against the German army who were entrenched just a little along the same river. The plan was to weaken the defenses of the enemy so that the Allied forces would be able to overwhelm and take the enemy on foot. And believing that the enemy, the Germans, had now been suitably weakened, the decision was to move forward on foot. Therefore, on the 1st of July, 1916, at 7:30 in the morning, in what was referred to as, in military terms, as the zero hour, many divisions of the British Army, including the 16th Irish Division, climbed out of the relative safety of the trenches, went into no man's land. And as they appeared over the trenches, the enemy began to shoot. But under strict orders from their commanders, these soldiers marched on line after line, but many marched to their death, taking a direct hit from the opposing armies. The enemy had not been weakened. Consequently, many thousands of soldiers lost their lives on that opening day of battle, in what we know now as the Battle of the Somme. And such scenes of carnage were replicated across many other battlefields, not just of the First World War, but of the other wars since, as thousands paid the ultimate sacrifice in love and duty to our nation and to our crown, that we today might enjoy the freedoms and the liberties that we do. And on this Remembrance Sunday, we honor those who paid the ultimate sacrifice, who died, that we can have these freedoms that we enjoy today. But as we come to this 13th verse of John's Gospel, chapter 15, I want us to come to another battlefield. I want us to come to another place of conflict. In this scene, there are no physical armies. There are no weaponries of war. The battle is not physical, it is spiritual. And even though the victories ultimately won in the First and Second World Wars of the enemy were most significant, yet the victory won on this battlefield was the greatest of all victories. Because there the Lord Jesus Christ battled with sin and Satan, and he was victorious. I want us this evening to come, for the moments that remain at the end of this service of remembrance, to the walls, outside the walls of Jerusalem, to a place called Calvary, and there for a moment to focus our attention on a middle cross. Because on that middle cross hanged the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to pay the ultimate sacrifice and endure the greatest and the most unimaginable of deaths, as he battled with sin and Satan. For these moments, I want us to consider from verse 13 of John 15, the greatest sacrifice of all. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. As we consider this sacrifice, I want you to see its unparalleled nature. Greater love hath no man than this. Its unparalleled nature. As we've already said, there were many, many thousands who, in the world wars of the last century and in the subsequent wars, gave their lives in defense of our freedom. Yet when we come to consider the sacrifice of Christ at the cross, the greatest sacrifice of all, we see something that is without parallel, something that is without comparison. Why is this greatest sacrifice, unparalleled in its nature? It's unparalleled in its nature because of Christ's passion. Verse 13 says, greater love hath no man. No man. Greater love. It brings us to a love unsurpassed. A love unknown and a love unequaled. And that most well-known verse of John 3 and 16, we read that, for God so loved. God so loved. You see, it conveys a love beyond any human love. Those young men and women, many of them in the prime of their lives, as they went out to battle, as they left home and family, they did so because of a love for our country, a love for our crown, and a love for our freedom. But here's a love greater than any human love. Greater love. This love of the Lord Jesus Christ that He had for us is unparalleled in its nature. It's easy to say, and it's easy to declare love, isn't it? But it's one and an entirely different thing to demonstrate it. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ just didn't say that He loved the world of sinners lost. He demonstrated that. How? By giving His life. By coming into this world and dying on an old rugged cross. In verse 12, the verse before that, He says, I have loved you. In a world today where there's so much counterfeit and fake love, here's real love. Here's true love. The Lord Jesus Christ so loved you tonight that He gave His life on the cross to die for you. You maybe think this evening, nobody cares about me. Nobody has an interest in me. Nobody cares for my soul. Tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ cares because He gave His life to die for you on the cross of Calvary. The London preacher, Mr. Spurgeon, said, speaking of Christ's love and dying for sinners, it could find no further shore. Its deeds of self-denial can go no further. This truly is love's crowning deed, that Christ died for us. The Apostle Paul talks about the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Oh, that tonight you would see, if you're here in this meeting without Christ, that there's a Savior who loves you, who came into this world to die on the cross to save you from sin. And this love can reach you tonight. This love has reached many in this meeting, I know. But if you're here without Christ, this love can reach you this evening. The greatest sacrifice of all is unparalleled in its nature because of Christ's passion, but also because of Christ's power. In John chapter 10, a few chapters back in this gospel, Lord Jesus Christ himself said, no man, talking about his own life, taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life, but he also had power to take his life. Having voluntarily laid down his life on the cross, he also had the power to take it again. You see, tonight we don't tell you or preach to you about a dead Savior. We're not here tonight to tell you about somebody who's still on a cross, somebody who's still in a tomb. We're here tonight to tell you about one who rose again victorious the third day. He laid down his life, but he took his life. You can go to many of the war cemeteries today, particularly in northern France, and see row after row of graves of those who died in the world wars. You can go to the place where Lord Jesus Christ died, and you'll find an empty tomb. Because he is not there. He is risen. He is risen. Lord Jesus Christ on the cross cried, finished. Redemption's plan had been completed. There was no other sacrifice that would be enough to save us from sin. His sacrifice was enough. And to show that his sacrifice was enough, to show that the price he paid was enough, he arose. We serve a risen Savior. One who lives in that power of an endless life. And tonight, for those in this meeting who are searching and seeking and looking for something in this life that you haven't previously found, you'll find it in Christ. Many turn to religion. I'm not asking you tonight to turn to religion. I'm not asking you tonight to turn to church. No church can satisfy you. No church can save you. I'm telling you tonight, you need to turn to Christ. Because only Christ can save you. Because not only did he die for you, he rose again and he lives for you. Lord Jesus Christ paid the greatest sacrifice of all. It's unparalleled nature. But I want to see not only it's unparalleled nature, but come a little further into verse 13, I want us to see its unimaginable suffering. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life, that a man lay down his life. War is never pleasant. It often results in terrible agony and pain. Many lay dying on the battlefields, falling where they were shot, writhing in awful pain and distress until they took their last breath and died. Many today, even in our own province, are still living with the scars of the conflict of our troubles. As they stood in defense of our freedom against a wicked and evil enemy, pain and the suffering that many had to endure is something that many of us have never entered into. But when Christ died as a sacrifice for sin on the cross, when he laid down his life, he suffered pain that no mortal man has ever known. There in the garden, just before he went to the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. And he cried unto his Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Such was the pain and the agony. He knew what was ahead of him. He knew the death that he was going to die. He knew what he would have to face. You see, at Calvary, we see the awful brutality of what man can do to fellow man. Plucked the hairs from his face, they pushed that crown of thorns into his brow. They spat upon him. They mocked him. They railed on him. They said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. lifted a sword and pierced it into his side. But you see, whenever man had done his worst, then the Father stepped in. Because during those hours of darkness on the cross, from the sixth to the ninth hour, when this world was veiled in blackness, the Father placed our sin upon His Son, and He endured wrath and pain and agony that we will never know about. He was stricken, smitten, afflicted, wounded, and bruised and chastised. He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Oh, the hymn writer says that none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere He saved that soul that was lost. You see, the reality is that during those hours of darkness there on the cross, Christ endured our hell that we might never go there. He was separated from the Father that you might never be separated. The agonies and the pains. And He endured it on till the payment was made. Do you not see tonight so great a love? Do you not see this evening one who loves you with a love that is unparalleled? One who suffered such unimaginable suffering. Why? That you, me, may be saved. That's how much He loved you. It's unimaginable suffering. He laid down His life. We see its unparalleled nature. We see its unimaginable suffering. But finally, as we close this evening, notice its undeserving subjects. The man laid down his life for his friends. We were born into this world. We were born in sin. Cut off from God, separated from God. It is sin that separates us from God. But God commendeth, or demonstrated, or showed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to try to live a better life. He didn't wait for us to try to live a more moral, upright life. No, while we were in our sin, helpless, He died for us. We who deserve nothing but His wrath can receive His love. That little word there in verse 13, His life for. It speaks about a substitute. It means in the behalf of or in the place of. Christ died in your place. Christ took your sin. Christ suffered the wrath of God for you that you would never be lost. He died for you. He died for me. He's your substitute tonight. Because there was nothing you or I could ever have done to save our souls from sin. We could do nothing. No matter how much we tried or how hard we tried, it never would have been enough. We would have been lost and continue to be lost if Christ had not died for us. And tonight your only hope for heaven, the only way your sins can be forgiven, the only way you can escape the wrath of God is through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, the cross of Calvary. Oh, undeserving as we were, yet Christ died for us. Such is the love and grace and mercy of God. Greater love hath no man than this. that a man lay down his life for his friends. The greatest sacrifice of all. It's unparalleled nature. Greater love hath no man than this. It's unimaginable suffering. He laid down his life. The undeserving subjects, his friends. We might be brought into that friendship and relationship with God. Tonight, as we bring this remembrance service to a close, as rightly we have paused today to remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice, we thank God for them. And their memory and their honor must continue to live on. But may we never forget the greatest sacrifice of all, when the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross gave his life, shed his blood. Why? That we who were sinners might be saved and brought to God. You're searching for peace, happiness, searching for something in this world. You see, there's an emptiness in your heart tonight. And that emptiness can only be filled by Jesus Christ. Can't be filled by the things of this world. This world won't make you any happier. But Jesus Christ says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I wonder tonight, will you give your heart and life to Christ? Will you see a Savior who loves you, who died on the cross to save you from your sin? Would you give your heart and life to him and make this remembrance Sunday a Sunday truly to remember, the day that you got saved? Let's bow in prayer. Our eternal God and our Father, we thank